You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and we're very familiar with money and cash, cold hard cash. Hold it in your hand, hand it over to someone, you get a good or service in exchange. But on the internet, we can't have things as simple as that. No, cryptocurrency is the way of money now online. I'm joined by Julia Newbold, Managing Editor of Money Magazine. Julia, how's it going?
Very well, thank you, Jordan.
So I guess just a rough explanation, what exactly is cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is a virtual currency or digital currency, electronic money that we use on the internet. And I guess it first started in the dark web and how to pay for things and not have trails and so on, but, you know, have it so that you had your own individual codes, et cetera, to have this money. But it's turned into two things. So it's a currency as one, but it's also being used as an investment. So people are investing in the currency and hoping it will, you know, increase in value, which a lot of them have over time.
So with Bitcoin, do you pay for it? Or so cryptocurrency, Bitcoin being one of them, I guess the most famous cryptocurrency, is it you go through the stock market to buy certain amounts of crypto?
It's not on the stock market. You can go to certain brokers and buy it. That's the typical way. But I think on Thursday this week, they're releasing an ETF which it's called a crypto ETF, but it invests not so much in the cryptocurrency itself, but in companies that are heavily involved in crypto. So that's the first time that the ASX has really started to take it seriously and look at how to do it so that it will be a little bit more regulated.
And being online, of course, as many of the younger people of today are, cryptocurrency has been pretty popular with a younger audience as well, as far as investing goes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the figures are that the ATO says around 600,000 Australians have invested in cryptocurrencies in recent years. And according to a recent survey, a third of Gen Z now own digital currencies, which has grown, which has doubled in size since January.
So with... you go ahead.
I guess part of it is a little bit FOMO. People don't want to miss out. If there's something that's going to increase in value, everyone wants a piece of it. So that's kind of built the value of it because obviously supply and demand, and there's a limited amount of each of the cryptocurrencies that comes out. And so the more that people demand it, the higher the price goes.
So in that case, who's controlling this? Because I know, like, we'll say with Australian dollars, it's the Australian government who, in the end, and I guess the Reserve Bank, which controls the supply
Not
and demand.
Not so much anymore. Well, they control the supply, but the demand could be for anything. You know, when there's a worldwide global shock, the Australian dollar tends to go down because people don't feel so steady holding the Australian currency because it's smaller and, you know, they look at something like the US dollar for safety. With this, it's just a supply and demand thing, so it can be manipulated if the people, you know, want to bring up the price and people aren't selling it, then those who are can demand higher prices.
Right. So I was going to say then, like, who's in control of what the value of these cryptocurrencies are, if not going through any other...
It's the market. So that's the difficulty of it. Because on the one hand, it is a currency that you want to use to purchase certain things, and you can use it, you know, relatively widely. But the fact that it's two things, it's a currency plus it's also something as an investment, that's where it becomes a little bit cloudy for me.
Right. And with cryptocurrency, I guess how dramatically does the value change on a daily or even weekly or monthly basis?
Yeah, so it can change quite dramatically. I'll just hang on a sec because I did make a little list. So at the beginning of last month, so the beginning of October, we'll just look at Bitcoin, it was just over $66,000. It then went up to $87,000 or nearly $88,000, and it has since come back down at the end of October to about $82,000 or $81,500. It has grown incredibly. in 2006 when it kind of started, it was $1,000, and then it quickly, you know, went up 25-fold, you know, to $25,000. So it is quite volatile, and as it's become more well-known and people have wanted it, and for whatever reason, you know, to just manage a portfolio and make sure that you're keeping up with whatever else is going on outside. You know, even if it's a very risky investment, you might want to hold a small amount just to, you know, keep in the market.
And I know just from watching the trends online, Julia, that someone like Elon Musk can make a tweet about a cryptocurrency and it can tank it pretty much within seconds. How does this factor in? Because that sounds not ideal when you are trying to invest in something.
Yeah, that is a great risk. If someone is able to influence the price to such an extent that it tanks, you are in a very risky investment. On the other hand, maybe he tweets something and the price goes up, but you have to know that it's a very risky investment and probably don't put, well, you never should put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your investments into one investment class.
And I guess with this kind of thing as well, like if you're familiar with trading stocks, not, you know, they're exactly the same thing, but you know to sell when it's high, buy when it's low kind of thing. And I guess if you a much more fast-paced version of that would be cryptocurrency.
It's very different because, you know, if you're investing in a company, for instance, like BHP, you can read the reports and you understand the value of a company and what it's invested in and, you know, what the earnings are and the profits and losses, et cetera. But when you're looking at something like crypto, you're not really basing it on too much other than, you know, what the market cap is and what the demand is. So that's what makes it quite difficult to gauge what the correct pricing should be. I mean, people have written papers on it and it's quite complex. And if you understand it and your head's in there all the time and you're on top of where, you know, which one's doing better and why and so on, then for sure that's, you know, an investment that's not so risky for you. But if you don't, then there are a lot of things to be wary about.
Well, it seems like a very risky thing. So if anyone, or not risky, or just interesting as well, but if anyone was keen to get involved with the cryptocurrency game, how do they actually go about that?
Okay, well, first of all, the Money Smart, the government website, does have a bit of information about it, which is quite interesting. How you go about it is you look at some of the providers that are around and maybe compare what they offer. So it would be eToro, Cointree, Digital Search, CoinSpot, there's quite a few providers. Have a look at what they provide and what sort of safety and how you hold your investments through them.
Well, good luck to anyone who's looking at dipping their toe in the cryptocurrency waters. And Julia, thank you so much for chatting today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Julia Newbold with Money Magazine on your Classic Hits Breakfast.